If you have your Bibles, go to 1 Kings 17. Stand with me all over the building. Let's reread the scripture again. 17, verse 2 through 4. Read this. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward. Hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Verse 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. But before verse 8, go to verse 7. And after a while, the brook dried up. Because there was no rain in the land. Jump over. So you keep this next verse just in the back of your mind. Verse 14. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent.
Jesus.
And the jug of oil shall not be empty. Until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Let me read that again. Some of y'all didn't catch that. Let me read that for you again.
All right.
For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Just simply, just tap yourself on the shoulder and say, you ain't going to lose out. Even in a famine state, you still bless.
Hallelujah.
Still bless.
Say it again. Now this time, look at somebody and say, even in a famine state, you still blessed. There are some of you that need to celebrate as you take your seats. That even in a famine state,
thank you for your word.
Hallelujah.
You still bless.
Yes, yes.
Even in a famine state. In a famine state, you are still blessed.
Thank you.
I almost feel like just going right to that point, but I'm going to set the table for you.
Take your time.
And so, week before last, we were talking about this man who has prophesied, and Ahab got so mad at him, chased him out of the land, and God tells him to go by the brook, and where he's at this brook, the land. In the land, the ravens, you know, those big, those birds, those huge birds, and they're so, the color is so, it's radiant, it's huge black bird, and he commands those birds who you see eat roadkill, those birds who will eat anything, those birds who are not scared of you.
Yes, that's right.
He commands those birds to feed him. And so here he is now. He's at a place of restoration. And some of you needed to get to that place of restoration because you have been fighting uphill for a long time.
Yeah.
Folk have been tearing you down. You've been going through stuff. And it seems like folk are just you can't get no cooperation from anybody. Life is hard. You almost feel like giving up and throwing in the towel. You don't want to go on. You don't want to continue. In fact, if I could just be honest, have you ever gotten to a place where you're just tired of people? Have you ever gotten to a place where you're just tired of people? You're just tired of people talking to you. You don't feel like dealing with nobody. You don't feel like talking to nobody. You're tired. Sometimes you get tired of your kids. You get tired of your family. You get tired of people talking, just doing all types of sorts of things. You trying to preach the word of God to them, and they don't do anything except get mad at you and begin to cause you heartache, and you can't go to bed because you're going to bed. Tears are falling down the side of your face. You can't seem to find any peace. Sometimes you just want to get in your car, start the car up, put gas in your car, and just go as far as your gas will. See, y'all, am I talking to anybody in here? Sometimes, and that's what this young man is feeling like right here. That he has done what God said to do, but upon saying what God said for him to say to the land, the people in the land, instead of worshiping God, they get mad at him and chase him out. Amen. And that's just like some of you. Some of you have been chased out of your own house. You've been chased out of your job. And I'm saying you're still there, but in your mind, you don't even want to go home. Sometimes you don't even want to be around people. You don't want to you refuse to drive up in the driveway. Y'all help me here. There are some of us that drive up in the driveway and sit in the car with the car still on for about 20 minutes, wondering if I should put my car in reverse, back out, and go somewhere else, because I don't even want to go in this house. I don't even want to see what's on the other side of the door, because I'm tired of people.
Tired of
people. So Elijah the Tishbite has done what God said to do, and he gets away to this place. And this place is a place of refuge, a place where sometimes you need to be able to go somewhere where you can just get your mind straight. For some of us, it's church. For some of us, it's just driving in the car by ourselves with the music off. For some of us, it's just being somewhere where everybody else don't know us. This man here has to get refreshed.
Well,
but now that he's gotten refreshed, it's time to move on.
Yes.
There are some of us who are trying to stay at a place of refreshing.
Well, come on, Pastor.
What do you mean by that, preacher? Sing, you're trying to stay in a place where you don't have to deal with people.
Say a word, Lord. Say a word.
Your anointing was not meant for you to just sit in a place of refuge and not deal with anybody. You were meant to get up and go do something for God that will bless somebody else. But we are too comfortable where we are. I'd rather just, let me say it like this. There are some of us who come to church and just want to come to church and not talk to nobody. That's an oxymoron. That don't even go together. I'd rather just come to the house of God, get the word, and don't say nothing to nobody. Wait a minute. How can you come to church, serve God whom you say you serve, love God whom you say you love, and not talk to nobody because you're tired of people? You're still in that place.
No. My God.
I'm trying to get restored. Something happens. He's in this place. He's comfortable. He's good to go. And he's going along just fine. And the brook dries up. Now, if you read your Bible, if you're careful, a lot of people ascribe the brook drying up to God. But the brook dries up because of the famine that's in the land. So God allowed water to still make it, but when the famine reached to where he was, now he has to prepare himself to move. You see, when water stops flowing, some of y'all need some water in your life. When water stops flowing, it affects every aspect of your life. When water stops flowing, the ravens don't come no more. Y'all don't talk back to me. When water stops flowing, you stop growing. When water stops flowing, you don't do the things that you're used to doing. When water is not present, when you can't just dip into the water, when you can't just bathe yourself in the water, when it's time to move on. And so when there's no water, there's no blessing. Now you're just sitting on dirt. That some of you, it's time to get up off the dirt. Yeah. Look at your neighbor and say, get up off the dirt, neighbor. It's time to do something for God now.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Time to move on.
Thank you for your welcome.
Rain hadn't come. See, water affects a lot of stuff. Your crops are dry up.
Yes, sir.
Some of y'all are looking for the harvest, but there's no rain, so your crops are drying up. The seed that's planted can't even grow. Oh, can I stop here spiritually for a minute? There's some of you who do not have any water in your life, who have the seed of God planted in you, but it cannot grow because you don't have no water. To water you, to help you grow to the place where you should be. So you just got a seed with no anointing. You just got a plant. You got something in you, but it's not growing. Y'all ain't saying nothing back to me. You got something down on the inside of you that God wants to use, but it's not moving.
All right now. All right.
Some of y'all looking hard on me at me because it's you.
My God.
You've been in the same place for 15 years. Been in the same place for 10 years, 5 years, 3 years, haven't grown, haven't done nothing. You in the same place. God has kept you, and now your brook is drying up. Now what you gonna do? Now what you gonna do? Your brook is drying up. Now what you gonna do? You got to step out on faith. You got to move from where God has you to where He wants you to be. But what you gonna do now? What you gonna do now? When the brook dry up, you gonna sit there and eat dirt. You better get up and move to where God would have you to move. Don't lose your mind and start eating dirt. Just no. Get up and go. People were starving.
My God, today.
Don't you know when you don't do what you're supposed to do, people are starved to death?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
So God tells Elijah, get up and go to this place called Zarephath.
Uh-huh.
Jesus, thank you.
Go to this place called Zarephath.
Yes.
And there you'll find a widow woman. Now, the widow woman is also affected by the famine, but God didn't tell him.
Come on here. Come on here.
That's right.
He just said, you'll find a widow woman there that's going to bless you.
All right.
God.
All right, now.
You see, because he was the one, Elijah was the one that had spoke the famine. Mm-hmm. Amen. And some of you have spoken the word of God over your life, over your family's life. But now you got to follow it all the way through.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Amen.
Uh-huh. You started it. Now you got to finish it.
Yeah.
Sing your word. Sing your word.
They in a famine and you trying to go somewhere else. Now it's time to come back.
Amen. Amen.
And lead out.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And so he goes to this place. Goes to this place, a city called Zarephath. And he was told there that a woman would be waiting for him. And when he gets there, this woman is by the gate. Mm-hmm. What we don't understand is that she needed Elijah to come.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Yes, she did.
She needed to hear a word.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ooh. Glory. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let me stay right there for me.
Amen.
For a minute.
Amen.
She needed to hear a word.
Yes.
Have you ever just needed to hear a word?
Yes.
August. Yes.
Because of where she was, She needed to hear that God was going to bless her.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, some of you that just need a word today, let me help you understand.
Come on. Yes.
God is going to bless you. His purpose was in ministering to the woman.
Yes.
Hallelujah. All right. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
But it was only when he got there.
Oh. Right. Come on, Pastor.
Wait a minute. Some of y'all trying to minister are far off.
That's a word. That's a word. That's a word.
All right now.
Some of y'all trying to minister over the text and over the phone. Some of y'all try to minister through something where people can't see you. Right. But the blessing of the Lord will come through you because you need to be there. Y'all can say that back to you. Stop trying to minister from here when the blessing is over there. Y'all. You got to get up and go and look at this thing in the face. Stop sending text messages. The Lord is going to bless you. The Lord is going to keep you. Hallelujah. You blessed and highly favored. Hallelujah. God is going to make a way. No, they need to hear your voice. They need to see your face. You need to lay hands. There are some folk that just need to hear you, see you, touch you, and know that God is in full control. That is the consequence of social media. It's good on one hand, but it's not good on the other because it causes us to stay apart from one another. And we think we can minister through social media to the point where we don't need to see each other. But there are some folk that God has sent you to that you need to see them.
My God.
Right.
Thank
you. Help
us out.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Come on now. Come on.
My God.
Thank you, Lord. Don't allow social media to make you lazy.
Amen.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Make it plain. Make it plain.
You watch. This is how I know. We take this stuff. Mm-hmm. We don't have to memorize scripture no more. Mm-hmm. Can I pull to the curb now? This
go
is for
ahead.
Free.
Yeah.
This is for free.
Come on now.
You ain't even got to memorize scripture no more. You just go right to it. You don't even bring your Bible. You bring your phone. Y'all ain't talking back to me. But the thing that you don't realize about your Bible is you write notes in your Bible. You scribble in your Bible. You highlight and you mark and you four pages back. But you can't really do that on your... maybe some of y'all got this high-fangled phone. But
come on now.
Your Bible, see, in your Bible, when see, folks that really know the Bible can flip. They got it on speed dial, the Bible, the hand of the pages run, where they can go from Genesis to Matthew without even, boom, I know it's right there. See, but we got so used to technology that it's taking us out, that we just look at the scripture and never look at it again because we figured that since we got technology in our head, we might as well use it, but we don't be committed to memory. So when trouble comes, now I'm getting somewhere with this, when trouble comes up, then you can't find no phone, you can't get no scripture. But you got to be able to have something down on the inside. You got to be able to quote something to yourself. You got to be able to talk to yourself in a time of need. You got to be able to lay hands on yourself. You got to be able to say, bless the Lord at all times. And his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Magnum, you got to be able to say something to yourself when your phone can't get it done for you. When your phone dies, it's on 1%. Do you got enough scripture down on the inside that can carry you through? I'm torn between the Bible and the iPad because the Bible, when you got pages in the Bible, I write notes. I bring up things that I remember from when I wrote it down a year ago, 2 years ago. I'm highlighting stuff, and the more I go through it and I flip through pages, it's just something in studying the Word of God in a book.
That's good.